Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Phil.
And this is The Underground, the podcast for garden sector professionals and the official podcast partner of Glee 2024.
In this special collection of episodes, we'll be sharing over 20 interviews that we recorded live from our podcast booth at Glee this year, offering fresh insights from the innovators and trailblazers that keep the garden sector growing.
So, without further ado, let's get down and dirty.
Later in today's episode, we'll be speaking with Dahlia Farmerama, Kim O'Brien. But first, a very special interview and one that Kate was particularly excited about.
So I would like to welcome to the Underground booth today. We have Chris Holgrove from Urban Worm, and he's partnered with the Grow More Better Growing Compost Company, and delighted also to be joined by Charles Dowding, known mainly by many people as the No Dig Guru. So welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Hi. So let's start, Chris, by just you telling us a little bit about why you're here at Glee this year.
Right. Okay. So, we've just basically launched a new product, which is organic black gold that we launched with Grow More Better Growing.
Pass that over to me.
Yeah, and sure.
Hold it up for the camera. So
this pouch itself is actually the pure worm casts, which are produced in my worm farm in Yorkshire. And these worm casts are now getting blended with Grow More's compost to create what we believe to be the best peat-free compost on the market.
Right, that's quite a claim to make. Do you have anything to back up those claims?
Well, I've got my friend Charles here. He's he's been using my worm cast for over 3 years.
For 3 years I've found really consistent results from using this compost, and you don't need much of it because I design module trays as well, and they have very small cells.
Yeah.
So because I don't want to use a lot of compost, and plants grow better in a small amount of volume, and their compost, we don't need to use any feeds or anything. You know, it just grows and grows and grows, and reliable results all the time.
Fantastic.
Amazing. So, Chris, what do you put that down to? What is it about the compost that is so special?
So, It's mainly to do with the worm casts and the benefits of the worm casts. So in the worm farm, we feed the worms about 3 times a week over the space. It's a cereal blend. It's about 16% protein. And the worms will take the nutrients from the feed and transfer it into the soil. But when they're doing this, they're actually coating the soil and the granules with enzymes, lots of microbes and great bacteria.
Can I butt in?
Yeah, sure.
I was talking to Chris about, the worm words used here, like, because you say soil, don't you? And I was saying compost
soil?
Or worm cast.
Okay. Yeah,
because you actually haven't got any soil in your warehouse, have you?
No, it's not soil. Oh, okay. It's not soil. It's made up of mainly composted bark and paper pulp, and it's a growing medium, basically, compost.
But all peat free.
Yes, all peat free.
And silly question. So the worm cast, this is all from an organic area. Are they free range worms?
They're free range worms.
I have a wormery myself, and what comes out is incredible because I'm an organic gardener and I love, but that's a lot of worms, isn't it, to produce?
Yeah, we I haven't counted them. I didn't count them yesterday, but I believe the check on Monday we've got about 11 million.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, in there.
2 acres.
Right, so a 2 acre field. And then how do you collect the worm casts?
So the worm cast gets sieved. The worms go out one way through the sieve, and then the worm casts go actually through the trommel. They then get sieved again through a 3 mil sieve. The reason why I do that is to take the larger granules out, which basically refines the worm cast to make it a purer product.
Right.
And then this is then either sold in our Urban Worm pouches or goes across to Grow More and they blend it.
Right, so you do the pouches, but Grow More themselves do the compost.
They do the compost,
and then, Charles, you've been trialling the actual compost, but you've used the worm cast for about 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. All good. I'm trialling the compost now, which is quite a new product.
Right.
And again, finding very good results.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to endorse it.
Wonderful.
That's really exciting. So what was your first initial reaction when Chris sent you the product to begin with?
I didn't know what to make of it because I do get sent a lot of stuff.
I bet.
Yeah.
and to be honest, a lot of it is not brilliant. And I get a bit disillusioned, and I'm even hesitating to try it because it's taking up my time and space in the greenhouse. But this one, I just did a couple of trays of lettuce in the summertime, and I was immediately struck by steady growth
and how it
carried on. And I've just kept using it, and it's become my main compost alongside my own, actually, which I also have a wormery.
Yes.
So I'm very aware of how valuable worm casts are and the amazing growth you get from using worm casts. And it's the microbes, isn't it?
It's live bacteria.
So it's soil health, isn't it? This is one of the kind of optimum products you can use for your soil health. So how different does it from someone who's got their own wormery at home? Is it just the amount that you can produce?
So we do it on a much bigger scale, probably a lot more intensive as well. So we're trying to get quite a lot of feed through the worms into the soil, because that really gives it a higher NPK. But then we use temperature as well to increase the worm activity, which then makes them chew through the compost really quicker.
Really cold December we had about 2 years ago. And I said, how are you keeping your worms
active?
And they replied and said, well, the warehouse is at 18 degrees centigrade.
That's not a bad place to come and work, is it?
The worms get better looked after than myself. So, very well-treated worms.
So can I just ask one last question, because I know we're just doing a quick chat here. What on earth made you start up this business, Chris?
So originally the worms were for fishing. I saw the benefits of what Wormcast could do.
Right.
And over the last 4 years, I've spent developing that. Because I think it's incredible what they do and what the benefits are. And I just really want to educate people and get it out there.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's really good. And great to be endorsed by somebody like Charles as well.
Yeah, so we're absolutely honoured that he's endorsing the products.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. So Charles, can I just finish off by asking you, so with the products that you're using there in your no-dig capacity, what are the advantages that you found that you get from them?
Well, I'm using it for propagation, actually.
Right.
I'm not using it for mulching my beds.
Right.
Because for that, it's cheaper to make your own compost to add old animal manure, that kind of thing.
Right.
This is a top-end product.
Yeah.
propagation, I feel is so important. And I've met so many people over the last few years who've been disappointed, had terrible results with peat-free. And obviously, that's what attracts me to this product, is just the reliability of it and for propagation.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to trying some, actually. Are you giving some pouches away,
I might be able to. £3.
But what I like about it as well is it's sustainable, which some of the peat-free ingredients, they're just not sustainable.
Yeah.
So I've got to be careful what I say, because obviously we're interviewing lots of different people.
Yeah,
it's a living product.
It's a living product and lots of really helping the soil health. So.
Yeah.
And with my marketing hat on, I love the branding.
Oh, thank you.
I absolutely love the branding. Urban Worm is just so catchy. It's great.
Well, look, good luck with the venture, and I'm sure you'll do really, really well, and hope you get lots of sales week at Glee.
Thanks for seeing us. Lovely to meet you. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And now for a conversation with Kim O'Brien, known on her socials as Dahlia Farmerama.
So welcome to The Underground, Kim O'Brien.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for coming. So Kim is also known as Dahlia Farmerama. Kim has lots and lots of hats on, and today she's going to tell us a little bit about herself and what brings her to Glee. So welcome, Kim, again.
Thank you so much, both. It's lovely to be here.
Lovely.
Yeah, so lovely can to have you.
You tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into horticulture in the first place?
Yeah, so my background is just that when I was a kid, my mum got me into gardening.
Brilliant.
As long as I can remember, as soon as I could hold a trowel, I was out there digging in the dirt, getting down and dirty and sowing the seeds, and my mum would show me everything and teach me everything. My mum's a great horticulturalist.
Brilliant.
And she would just explain it and teach me all the names and just like pique that curiosity and that fascination, really. But it wasn't just being outside as well, she also had a huge indoor houseplant collection as well.
Lucky you.
Yeah, so I sort of, she showed me how to propagate and how to care for the indoor plants as well. So yeah, I've sort of seen both the indoor and the outside, because obviously there's no such thing as indoor plants in the real world,
no,
is there?
That's right. So in the UK, yes.
So she would teach me, you know, that actually certain times of the year, get them outside, get them breathing, right, getting that, that fresh air and that, yes, light. So yeah, all these things. So that's what got me into horticulture. And then I was growing dahlias. I've grown dahlias for about 24 years. They are my absolute passion. And
so before they became
I've been through the, they were sort of, yeah, just finishing being trendy, and then I went through the slump.
But you always loved them
through it and out the other end, and now they've had a revival, yes, which is, yeah, wonderful to see.
Absolutely. So I'm going to ask you the question that's on everybody's lips. Where did the name Dahlia Farmerama come from?
Well, somebody just said to me that I should set up an Instagram account. It was mainly because I was spamming everybody on my Facebook account with dahlias. And then someone was like, it's lovely, but do you think you could set up a separate account for this?
Right.
So that's where it came from. But the name was just, you know, obviously it had to be something dahlia. Mm-hmm. And I was dahlia farming, so it was Dahlia Farmer. But I thought Dahlia Farmer's a bit dry. It gets, yeah, injected a bit of fun. So I put the Rama on the end. You know, it's like Banana Rama, but more fun because it's dahlias.
Dahlias. So you actually do, is it a business? You sell dahlias?
Yes.
Right, so, and that is what you do?
Yes, so it's one of the things that I do. One of the many hats that I wear. It has taken a bit of a backseat this year because I've been doing garden design as well.
Yes, more of that to come.
Yeah, so, but I've been, yeah, so I've got, and I've got a garden, it started with a garden,
yeah,
and then it grew to a garden and an allotment,
right,
and
right,
that wasn't enough, you know, because like 50 dahlias in an allotment, I couldn't do what I needed to do.
No.
Obviously,
no.
I needed 2,000 dahlias in a field, so that's kind of where it's gone. So I grow cut flowers commercially to, yeah, supply, okay, to florists. I'm a florist as well myself,
so
I grew it for my own floristry business and for my own joy, but I do supply because I had surplus, obviously I supply them.
Right.
So what size field have you got? I mean,
it's small. It's only about a third of an acre.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's but that is just cut flowers.
It's
dahlias,
just cut flowers. Just dahlias.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful. I'd love to come and visit. Now, Phil, I'm sorry. I am just going to get a bit dahliaed out here.
All right.
So what is it about dahlias that you love? What is it about them?
Oh, do you know what? It's just their inherent beauty. I think you just can't look at a dahlia without feeling uplifted.
Yeah.
It's their form. They come in so many forms. Mm-hmm. You've got the anemones, you've got the cactus dahlias, the decoratives, the double decoratives. You know, I could go on and on listing all the different types of dahlias. And then when you put into the mix that they come in so many different colours, yeah, as well.
Mm.
You know, the pom-poms, the balls, you get them in every colour and every shade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they, just when you think you've seen it all, they introduce a new one into the market.
Yes.
And you think, oh, that looks good, you know. So it's just an obsession, really. It was a hobby that grew into an obsession.
It's a good obsession to have. And actually, I learned something that I didn't know from Kim a while ago, on thanks to Instagram, is I was one of those guilty of saying, only get a single flowering dahlia if you want, you know, pollinators, because dahlias which have got all the, you know, all the frou-frou, yeah, aren't good, yes, for pollinators.
Frou-frou, is that a technical term?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I learned that on my RHS. And just to be told that actually, no, Kate, you and many others are wrong, because do you want to just tell us? It's fascinating.
Well, it's just, if you leave them,
yeah,
they will blow open. So the centres, what that means is the centres will blow open,
yeah,
and reveal, okay, everything that the bees need and the pollinators,
right,
need. So if you don't deadhead them, if,
yeah,
you can bear to live with a few deadheads,
yep,
and you don't cut them, or you don't cut them to bring into the,
yeah,
house, just let those centres blow open, and even the most heavily double frilled,
frou-frou,
double frou-froued decoratives. I'm so stealing that term now. Even they will blow open and reveal their centres.
Yeah, and I can actually, I've done that this year for the first time, thanks to Kim, and it works.
And
I like them. I think they look really cute like that. It's so different. I mean, I don't have a field. I just have a small garden with a few pots. But yeah, I've definitely left them to go over.
Amazing.
I mean, I still love my singles, my Star Wars and,
yes,
those kind of ones. But I feel I can now grow more, you know, over-the-top blooms now and leave them for my bees.
Fantastic. So, Kim, what brings you to Glee this year?
So, I am a committee member of the Garden Media Guild.
Okay.
Right. So I wanted to come with my Garden Media hat on and come as Garden Press and have a look around with, you know, and connect with people on in that way. And then the other thing that I'd want to do really, really importantly is I am an ambassador for Green Fingers Charity and they are here as well. They have a stand over there.
Yep.
And it's just really important just to get the message of who Green Fingers are, what they do, what the charity does out there.
So as an ambassador, what is it that you do to kind of help with Green Fingers?
Well, there's different ways that you can help as an ambassador. You can either be hands-on in helping to build the gardens, plant the gardens, design the gardens.
Oh, right.
There's lots of different ways. I've seemed to have naturally sort of veered towards fundraising.
Right.
Okay. So I feel that that's one of my strengths. Mm-hmm. So I have been promoting them on Instagram. We had the Garden Grand Ball back in March as well, which was along with Jamie and Catherine. We organised that. So, yeah, it's just kind of getting, for me, it's promoting them. It's the PR. It's getting them known and letting people know who they are and what they do.
Fantastic. And you do all this for free, don't you?
Oh, it's all entirely voluntary. Yeah. It's not done with any expectation of anything in return. But, you know, it's not as altruistic as you think, because when you see the benefits of what they do and the what they do.
Yes.
So they are they build gardens in hospices, and they're hospices for children. So children and their families, the children who are end of life or life limited, they have a space to go, which is a warm space, a welcoming space, a colourful space, a peaceful space, a relaxing space. It could be a space to play in, a space for them to play with their brothers and sisters in, and just have that great outdoors experience that so many people take for granted.
Yeah.
How much more important is it in that very, very difficult situation? So they have provided to date, I think it's almost 80 gardens nationwide.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is incredible, the difference that it makes.
Yeah.
So to say that I do it for nothing, well, I don't do it for any monetary reason or anything like that, but I get the joy of knowing that it's helping so many people, which is, you know, that's where that's the reward, really.
Fantastic. Yeah, we have had Linda from Green Fingers on the show.
She's just amazing.
Yeah. And we'll be here Floral Thursday with our floral finest as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Flowery dresses at the ready.
Exactly. So going back to where you were saying when you come to Glee with your Garden Media Guild hat on.
Yes.
So what are the things that you're going to be looking at around the show? Is there anything that I'd quite like to see something?
Well, just looking at new products, really, as well. And just, is there anything that I can write about?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that I believe, you know, is going to make a difference? I have a huge passion for the environment.
Right.
And, you know, I've always gardened organically. That's something my mum, even, you know, 40 years ago, when she was teaching me to garden, you know, she's never sprayed anything. She's never put a slug pellet down. Okay. Even when it was very fashionable to do that, she's always said there's alternatives and show me those alternatives. So I'm very passionate about that. So if there's any products here that I really believe are championing the, you know, peat-free and ecologically friendly and, you know, pesticide free gardening, or even anything innovative which just, you know, hasn't been thought of before, those are the things that I'm looking out for.
So do you feel that a lot of kind of gardeners and horticulturists give this show a bit of a miss because I think it's more kind of trade and stick to the kind of flower shows, Gardeners Wildlife and Chelsea? What would you say to kind of people like yourself? Do you think you should persuade them to come up to Glee?
Quite possibly, yes. I mean, I've not been to Glee before. This is my first time, so I didn't know what to expect.
Oh, right.
Didn't know that. So I just came here with an open mind.
Great.
And I've only been here for a couple of hours.
Yeah, we grabbed you.
But what I can say is, you know, based on what I've seen so far, I would encourage people, if you like, you know, if you're into gardening, definitely come along, because there's products here that are innovative. There's things here that do look like they're worth investigating, worth trialing in your own garden, and things that you might not have seen before. And just having that conversation with somebody, you just don't know where that's going to lead and you know, what can come out of it. So it's definitely worth coming.
Oh, great.
But keep going to the flower shows as well.
Absolutely. Well, actually, talking about the flower shows, Phil, yeah. Sorry, I'm taking over here sorry. A bit. You designed Gardeners World Live this year. Gold winning, is that right?
So the gold winning was, the gold medal was at Audley End House last autumn.
Last autumn, right.
Yes. And then it was a silver merit this in Birmingham at Live.
Yeah.
After a category change.
Oh, okay.
Beautiful border. Ooh. So it was, yeah, it was a bit of drama.
Okay.
We were.
Ooh,
we
the goss.
The inside scoop.
Yep.
We designed as a beautiful border category.
Right.
And we built it as a beautiful border category and planned it like that,
yes,
as well.
As you would.
And then the day before judging, we were told that if we wanted to change to the showcase gardens category, with it, which had a totally different set of judging criteria.
Right.
We could. It was a little bit risky.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We built the garden. It looked beautiful.
You did.
And suddenly we're in a, you know, we're in a category where there's people who are being judged on the same. We're being judged on the same criteria as people who've been there for nearly 3 weeks, and they've been there with the excavators
and a lot longer
cranes
time,
and,
yeah.
And the teams of landscapers. Yeah. And we sort of rocked up 4 days before with a couple of trowels and a couple of spades. But yeah, we managed to pull a silver merit out of
that's
bag.
Amazing.
So that
that's
was pretty
good.
Thrilled with that.
Pretty good. Will you do
credit
it again?
Credit to my team.
Will you do it next year?
I don't know if I'll do it next year. I'll definitely do it again.
Yeah.
Because I think once you've designed
get
a garden,
the bug,
you
don't
do
you?
Get the bug.
Yeah.
But I've done 2 show gardens now in 10 months.
Yeah.
And
right.
it was a lot.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So, and it took a lot of energy. And I know that my field has taken a hit because right. I had to channel some of my
of
energy
course.
Into
yeah.
prepping show mm-hmm. gardens, you know, so... Mm.
Back to the day job.
Yeah, quite right. possibly, just for a bit, for now.
Yeah, so what happens to the gardens after the shows?
So the one at Birmingham, that was mm-hmm. Dismantled. We sold off the plants at the show. And then the paving, so the hard landscaping, that was very kindly donated by Arbor. Okay. Landscaping.
Yep.
They donated that because they're closely linked with Green Fingers charity,
right.
And that is currently being held and it's waiting, being put into a design that will then go to a Green Fingers hospice garden.
Oh, that's great. That's good news.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So we were
hear.
Thrilled when Linda said that we could do that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so I've got a question going back to what you were saying about the fact that it was your mum who's taught you so much.
Yeah, it's all her fault.
Yeah. So where did she learn from? Because, I mean, that's, you know, sounds like an amazing person.
She is an amazing person. She's very knowledgeable horticulturally, and I've learned so much from her. She has learned from, I think it must have just been from her parents.
So she's self-taught.
Yeah, she's self-taught. I can remember going to my grandparents' house when I was just like, you know, just as soon as I could stand, and just being, having that perspective of having like poppies, you know, towering above me,
right.
and just thinking, wow, this is heaven.
Aww.
And I used to absolutely love going to visiting my grandparents' garden because it was always so beautiful. So I imagine it was from them.
Definitely. So is your field, is that open to the public, or are you just strictly?
No, it's not. I don't have the insurance to open it to the public.
Course, yeah.
So it's a piece of land that's very kindly been lent to me by some good friends. They've lent me the use of it. So.
Well, that's useful, isn't it?
It is.
But we see a lot of it on your Instagram account as Dahlia Farmerama, which is a fabulous account to follow if you don't already do follow that.
Thank you very much.
Inspiring and fun as well.
Yeah, you've got to have fun with it, haven't you? I think it's important not to take life too seriously.
Yep.
So do you find that the horticultural world and the garden retail world, it works well together? Do you know what I mean? You know, is there...
I know what you mean. They kind of exist as two separate entities in a way, don't they?
Yeah.
That's a really good question because really one can't exist without the other.
Absolutely.
But I think they are seen as separate entities.
Definitely. I think that's why I talked about the difference in the shows as well.
Yes.
You tend not to get the same people going to the shows, but actually what's coming from somewhere like Glee is feeding the people who do the shows, the garden designers, the people that are buying the plants. At the end of the day, it should all be one, shouldn't it?
It should be. But I suppose that, you know, people who come to Glee, they perhaps have the more sort of business interest side of it, whereas somebody who's going to a garden show, it might just be they want to prettify their garden.
Very true.
And both are very valid.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely, yes. And so have you actually spotted, while you've been here, have you spotted any of the products that you you mentioned, you know, you were possibly looking for things which were more sustainable and eco-friendly type products and that sort of thing. Have you spotted some?
I have. There's a very interesting stand called Jeremy Grains. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah.
So I met Eric. back in March, February.
Is that the Garden Press event?
Yes. And he has these cells for growing.
So it's a seed starter kits,
but they're space saving, which was, I thought, was really interesting idea, because when you have so many seeds to sow, space can be of a premium, can't it?
Yeah.
So I did try some of those this year and I got on very well with them, actually.
Okay.
He's got those again, but I was just chatting with him briefly. We kind of got, I've got to go back and speak to him again. he's showing me he's got something like electrodes. I'm not sure exactly what they are. They look like electrodes that you put into the soil and it will tell you, you know, your potassium, nitrogen.
Right, it's a soil testing.
Exactly, it's a soil testing kit.
And more. He's constantly innovating.
He's very, very innovative. Very innovative. And then he's got the seed starting kit that he had before. He's now got a heat pad to stand it on with a grow lamp over the top.
Oh my goodness.
Of it.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. Ooh. Looks really good. I'm going to go back and have a proper look at it. But.
And reusable as well. So, I mean, that's one of the things about seed trays, they wear out, but his kits, you know, they're reusable. You use them year in, year out.
Exactly.
There is a lot of waste, isn't there, in the garden industry, unfortunately.
There is.
A lot of plastic waste.
There is. And it comes, although they are molded plastic, that's it. Once you've got them.
You've got them for life.
You've got them for life. And it comes back to that sustainability idea that I like. So,
No, excellent. And we're big fans of Jeremy as well. So
good.
Yeah, we hope to get him one. Well, I think that probably wraps it up for our Glee chat with you, Kim. If that's all right, if there's anything else you want to talk about, then please do, that you don't think we've covered.
No, I think that's everything. Thank you.
Hope you have a good fun look around the rest of the show and find some good products to write about.
Yeah, and we look forward to seeing some posts about the show as well. I'm sure you'll be putting a few posts out there.
Yeah, posts and reels. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been a pleasure.
No, it's been lovely. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, could I ask a small favour? Please take the time to review the show and share us with your colleagues. It really does make a difference and will help others to find us too. To keep up to date with the latest happening from the Underground, sign up to our email newsletter at theunderground.fm. I'm Kate Turner, the Gardener Guru. I'm a horticulturist, garden consultant, and presenter. To find out more, check out my website at gardenerguru.co.uk.
And I'm Phil Wright, the founding partner of Wright O'Barra, a creative marketing agency specialising in the home and garden sectors. And for anyone bringing a new product to market, we've created a handy 7-step guide to help take your product marketing from zero to hero. Find out more at wrightobarra.com.